Welcome to your deep dive. Today we'll be exploring a section of Poetry Lamentations 5.17-22. It really grapples with the aftermath of war in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We have a great academic lecture that breaks down these verses.
Okay.
And our goal today is to go beyond just the words.
Right.
And to see how this ancient poetry can still speak to us, how it taps into some universal things about human emotion, especially when you're facing devastation.
I think what's so powerful about these verses is they don't just describe, like, the physical ruins of Jerusalem, the broken walls,
right.
the empty streets.
Yeah.
It's this much deeper feeling,
right.
kind of its permeating sense of devastation and despair.
Yeah, the lecturer actually pointed out that the word for devastated, the Hebrew word shamem,
right.
it appears throughout Lamentations.
Uh-huh.
And it's not always about buildings or walls, is it?
That's right. Shamem can describe the psychological grief, the feeling of being completely broken
wow.
and lost. Imagine losing everything that you hold dear.
Yeah.
Your home, your loved ones,
yeah.
your sense of security, that emptiness.
Right.
That's shame.
Yeah.
And it sets the stage for this really interesting thing.
Okay.
A psalm of complaint.
Okay, a psalm of complaint.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's exactly what it sounds like.
Right.
It's a type of psalm where the people directly challenge God.
Wow.
They pour out all these raw emotions, anger, confusion.
Uh-huh.
Even accusations.
Oh, wow.
It's like a desperate plea.
Yeah.
From people who feel abandoned by the very force they believe in.
That's pretty intense.
You know, and actually like a full third of lament songs are these songs of complaint.
A third.
Wow.
It makes you wonder why this form of prayer was so common back then.
Right?
It almost feels taboo now.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that contrast really highlights
yeah.
something important about the relationship between faith and suffering.
Right.
But back to those psalms of complaint.
Yeah.
In Lamentations 5.20, the people cry out, why have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days?
Wow.
And you see these kinds of questions in other psalms, like Psalm 74.
Okay.
You know, these aren't just polite inquiries.
No.
They're raw, unfiltered cries of pain.
So it's not just sadness. It's almost an accusation.
Yeah.
It's intense.
It is intense.
Yeah.
And I think that intensity is important.
Okay.
Because it reveals this raw honesty with God
yeah.
that we don't always see now.
Right.
These people aren't holding back at all.
Yeah.
They're just laying bare their pain, their doubts, their anger.
Right.
And that rawness, that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Is something that still resonates with us today.
It's like they're saying, we're hurting God and we need you to know it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think there's like a specific reason?
Mm.
They felt so comfortable challenging God directly, like that.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think the answer lies in this tension
right.
between their experience, what they were going through, and what they deeply believed.
Right.
You see, the people of Jerusalem believed in something called Zion theology.
Zion theology.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that even mean?
So essentially, it's this idea that God would always protect Jerusalem.
Okay.
That his favor would always be with them and their city.
Right.
It was like a core part of their identity, their faith.
Mm.
But then
yeah.
their world just crumbles.
Right.
The Babylonians destroy Jerusalem.
Yeah.
The temple's in ruins.
Right.
Their whole way of life is shattered.
So on the one hand,
right.
they have this deep belief that God will always protect Jerusalem.
Right.
And on the other hand,
yeah.
they're staring at the ruins.
Right.
Their holy temple defiled.
It's a tough thing to reconcile.
It's a contradiction.
It is.
Yeah, no wonder they're questioning everything.
Exactly. It's like watching your most sacred place just crumble.
Right.
And that's what makes these psalms of complaint so
yeah.
powerful. They capture this moment of crisis.
Yeah.
This struggle to hold on to faith. When everything you believe in
right.
seems to be falling apart.
It's almost like they're saying, we believe in you, God, but right now
yeah.
it really doesn't feel like you're on our side.
Exactly.
So how do they deal with that? How
yeah.
do they process that?
Yeah.
That loss.
That betrayal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
And we'll dive into that in just a second.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
So before we were talking about the people of Jerusalem and the destruction of their city,
yeah.
how that really challenged their beliefs about God's protection.
Yeah.
Like their world's been turned upside down.
Hmm.
So what happens next? How do they respond?
Well, they do something really bold.
Okay.
Instead of just like giving into despair.
Right.
They use their tradition, their faith, as like a form of protest.
Protest.
Yeah.
How do you protest using faith?
So think about it this way.
Okay.
They start by affirming God's power and his eternal reign.
Right.
It's almost like they're reciting like a familiar prayer or a hymn.
Okay.
But then they turn it around and they use it to highlight this stark contrast
uh-huh.
with their current situation.
Okay.
Like they're saying, you, O Lord, are supposed to be the all-powerful, everlasting King.
Right.
Yet here we are, your people, utterly abandoned and suffering.
Yeah, that's a powerful way to call God to account.
It is.
Remind him of his promises and demand some kind of explanation.
Yeah, it's a very direct,
yeah,
even confrontational approach.
Right.
And the lecturer pointed out that this wasn't unique to Lamentations.
Oh, really?
He gave some other great examples from the Psalms, like Psalm 89,
okay,
where the king accuses God of breaking his promises.
Wow.
It seems like this kind of raw dialogue, this wrestling with God,
yeah,
was more accepted part of their religious expression back then.
It makes you wonder if sometimes now,
yeah,
we're just too afraid to be honest with God about our doubts and our struggles.
Right.
Like we're worried about being disrespectful or irreverent or something.
Yeah.
But these verses suggest that maybe those raw emotions, that questioning, can actually be a way to deepen our faith.
I think you're really onto something there.
Yeah.
Because it's in those moments of vulnerability,
mm-hmm,
when we're willing to be really honest about our pain and confusion,
right,
that we can really connect,
right,
with the divine.
Yeah.
It's like we're stripping away all the pretense, the religious platitudes,
yes,
and we're getting to the heart of the matter.
It's real. Yeah. Okay. So they've poured out their anger and grief.
Yeah.
They've reminded God of his promises.
Uh-huh.
They've challenged him to act.
Right.
What happens next?
Well, in verse 21, we see this kind of shift.
Okay.
They move from protest to plea.
Okay.
They cry out, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old."
Hmm.
But it's important to note,
yeah,
this isn't a demand.
Right.
It's a heartfelt request.
Okay.
It's an acknowledgement that God has the final say.
So there's humility there.
Yes.
A recognition of God's sovereignty. But at the same time, they're not giving up hope.
Right.
They're still clinging to that possibility of restoration.
Yeah, the lecturer compared it to a lawyer making their best case in court.
Oh, okay.
They present their arguments, the evidence, the pleas for justice.
Right.
But ultimately, the judge decides the outcome.
Right.
And I think that analogy really captures this.
Yeah.
They're making their case to God.
Mm-hmm.
They're laying bare their brokenness, their longing for healing.
Right.
But they're leaving the decision in his hand.
It's powerful. Yeah. It's surrender.
Uh-huh.
It's trust.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of suffering.
Right.
But then right at the end,
yeah,
in verse 22, mm-hmm, they hit us with this bold statement.
Right.
"Unless you have utterly rejected us."
And that line just hangs there.
It does, doesn't, yeah, it? Yeah. It's like a gut punch.
It is.
This uncertainty.
It's tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying, "We've laid it all out there, God."
Right.
"Our pain, our doubts, our hopes."
Yeah.
"Now we need to know, are you with us or have you abandoned us completely?"
And that's a question that, yeah, has echoed throughout history.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're challenging the foundation of their faith.
It is.
It's just raw and vulnerable.
It is.
I think a lot of people can relate.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if they wouldn't express it that directly.
Yeah, and that's what makes these verses so timeless.
Right.
You know, they give a voice to that struggle,
uh-huh,
to reconcile your faith with your suffering.
Yeah.
To make sense of tragedy and loss.
The lecturer brought up an interesting point about the book of Lamentations itself.
Okay.
He said it's not just like a collection of poems about despair.
Right.
It actually seems to offer a path forward,
mm,
a way to move from darkness into hope.
That's a really insightful observation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see this most clearly in chapter 3.
Okay.
Where the writer introduces this idea that God's punishment, it's not the final word.
Right.
There's this glimmer of hope.
Okay.
This possibility of repentance and reconciliation.
So even in the midst of all this pain,
right,
there's still a chance for healing.
Exactly.
For a new beginning.
Yeah, it's not about denying the reality of the suffering.
Right.
Or pretending everything's okay.
No.
It's about acknowledging the brokenness, but also recognizing that there's that possibility for restoration.
Okay, so it's not about going back to the way things were.
Right.
It's about creating something new.
Yeah, a new normal.
Right, where they can thrive again.
Precisely. And that, I think, is the ultimate message of hope in Lamentations.
Mm.
It's a testament to that resilience,
right,
of the human spirit.
That's good.
Our ability to find meaning,
yeah,
purpose, even in the aftermath of loss.
And it brings us back to that haunting question in verse 22.
Mm.
"Unless you have utterly rejected us."
Right. It's a question that doesn't have a simple answer.
No.
But it invites us to wrestle with that mystery of faith.
Yeah.
The complexity of our relationship with God,
uh-huh,
and the power of hope.
Right.
Even when things are really difficult.
It's a reminder that sometimes the most honest players are the ones that wrestle with doubt.
Yeah.
That ask those hard questions.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, trust in a love that can redeem even the darkest times.
So as you reflect on these verses,
hmm,
think about how they might speak to you.
Okay.
What are the Mount Zions in your life?
Yeah.
The things that have been shaken.
Right.
Or shattered.
Yeah.
And how can you find the courage to grieve, to question, and ultimately to seek restoration and renewal?
This has been a great deep dive.
It is.
We've gone from despair to hope.
Yeah.
We've explored the emotions, the questions, the power of faith.
Absolutely.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.